All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Tzadik Zayin 97. We are picking up Tzadik Vav Amud Beis 96b. Rabbosai, let's actually pick up 3, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, we actually did some of this already, but we'll start it again. So remember again, we're discussing the halachas of the Shulchan. Specifically the idea that the Shulchan is Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara says, why is the Shulchan Mekabel Tumah? So essentially what the Gemara established was, it's a Kli Eitz, a wooden utensil, that is made, stationarily, and is also moved. Where is it moved? We saw the example that during the Regalim, the Kohanim would lift up the table, bring it out to the people, which, by the way, I want to say, there's a lot to say about that, because this whole notion of taking a utensil that normally resides inside of the Kodesh and bringing it out also generates a very interesting discussion. But whatever, not our topic for now. And they would bring it out to show the Oli Regalim, Ruchi Baskim Lefnei HaMakom, see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, because the bread remains fresh. Good, the bread remains fresh. So the Gemara says, so from here you see that it's a wooden utensil that's movable, and therefore again it's Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. There's another reason why the Shulchan should become Tumah, which is why? Because it has a metallic covering. Remember again, the Shulchan is made of wood, Asei Shittim, but it is covered in gold. The fact that it's covered in gold, does that not make it into a metal utensil? If it's a metal utensil, then what? Then halacha lemaisa should be mekabel tumah. Milo tanan, did we not learn? So Rashi says over here, mishum tzipui, tahavi mateches, velo iskish lesak, afilo asoy lenaches mekabel tumah. So we'll say, it's actually, again, I don't want to get too mired into this, although it is very interesting, which is, remember, the whole notion that a kli has to be like a sack, in order to be mekabel tumah, only applies to non-metallic utensils. Remember, again, the comparison to a sack was, just as a sack is movable and can be moved empty and full, so to any utensil which is movable, can be moved empty and full, is mekabel tumah. But once it comes into the category of a metallic utensil, then by definition it's just mekabel tumah because it's metal. So then it says the Gemara, let's sidestep the whole previous discussion and just say the Shulchan is mekabel tumah because it's covered in gold. To which the Gemara says, Nilo Tanan, did we not learn? Hashulchan va'adulbaki, if you have a table and you have a chair, shenifchesu, and I will say you cut off part of it, oshechipan b'shayish, or you went ahead and you covered it in marble. Now, Bosai, remember, shayish, marble is stone. Stone is not mekabel tumah. So I covered now my utensil in stone, in a material that is not mekabel tumah. But what did I do? V'shir bo makom hanachas kosos tmeyin. And I will say, what happens? But I leave some part of the utensil uncovered. In other words, I leave some part of the utensil not covered in stone, so wood. So we'll say, I take the wooden utensil, I cover it in stone, but I leave some part of it uncovered. How much uncovered? So the Gemara says, makam hanachas tkosos, enough to place my cups down on the utensil. What's the halacha tmein? We'll say, the halacha is that they are tamei. We'll say, why are they tamei? Because apparently, if there's enough wood left uncovered to be able to hold cups, then that's what? That gives the designation of what? Of a wooden utensil. And if it's a wooden utensil, that's mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda argues on a detail. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, makom hanachas chatichos shir in, lo shir lo. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda argues. He says, no, it's not just enough to leave a place to place the cups, but you need a place to put down your meat and your bread. Right, who just wants cups? You know, right? You need a place for meat and bread. Also, if you leave enough of the table uncovered to leave your meat and your bread there, the table retains its identity as a wooden utensil, is mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema. So what do you see from here? Which is now, we'll say, for our purposes, by the way, what you see, the important detail for us is what? And what happens if you would have covered this entire utensil in stone? What would be the halacha? It would not be mekabel tumah. So we'll say, this is, by the way, very important. So it tells you that what? That when you have a utensil that is coated or plated with some type of covering, the identity of the utensil is judged by what? Judged by the covering. So therefore, again, I will say, using this for our purposes, if I have a shulchan that's made of wood and it's covered in gold, it's going to be treated as a golden utensil, which then means that what? It is mekabel tumah. So says the Gemara. So maybe you'll say, says the Gemara, That's what? When do we go after the covering of a utensil? That's only when the covering is affixed in place. Rashi says, with like nails. Rashi says, V'chitema, ha-dazlin ambasar tzipoy, but tzipoy omeid kavua b'mesmoros. V'shulchon shal hekdesh lav omeidu. So we'll say, maybe you'll say that the only time that we go after the covering of a utensil is when the covering is actively affixed to the utensil with like nails. But if the covering just sits on top of the utensil, then maybe again we do not define the utensil by its covering. And Abosai, in the case of the Shulchan, remember again, the golden plating was not nailed into the Shulchan. It kind of was just an overlay on the Shulchan. So says the Gemara, V'habai minei reshagish Rabbi Yochanan, Breish, Lakish already asked this from Rabbi Yochanan, B'tzipoi omeid, O B'tzipoi she'ena omeid, if you're dealing with the covering, Rabosai, now omeid ultimately again means that it's affixed in place, like with a nail, or she'ino omid means it just sits there. B'shechifa es levazvizin, top of tzadik zayin. Or b'shelochifa es levazvizin. Or Rabbi say, what about a case, we have a utensil that has, like, let's say, a gold covering or a metallic covering, but the metallic covering does not extend over the sides, right? So it covers the surface, but doesn't extend over the sides, right? V'amarle, and he responded, lo shnat sipui omid v'lo shnat sipui she'ino omid. Lo shnachipa es levazazin v'lo shnalochipa es levazazin. And also he responded that it makes absolutely no difference whether the covering ultimately again is affixed in nails or just affixed by nails or just sits there, or whether the covering extends over the side of the kli or not, is irrelevant to Bosei. The halacha is that when you have a utensil covered by some type of metallic covering, the identity of the utensil becomes a metal utensil. So Bosei, so again, for our purposes, therefore, what? Halacha lemaisa, if you have a shulchan that is made ultimately, that is covered in some type of metallic covering, then halacha lemaisa again, it should become a metal utensil, and therefore halacha lemaisa should be mekabel tuma. Good kasha. The chitema, atse shitim chashiva lo bat. This is really fascinating. So you'll say, oh, this is different. What is the shulchan made of? Atse shitim, acacia wood. Acacia wood is chashiv. It's chashiv. So therefore, maybe Rabbi will say, in that kind of case, the halacha is that the wood is not bottle to the gold covering. Maybe that's it. And therefore, again, even though it's covered in gold, it still has the identity ultimately as what? As a wooden utensil, to which the Gemara says, Hani chalere shlakish da amar lo shanu ela. So let's listen to this. This makes sense correct to shlakish who says, the lo shanu ela bikli ach sulgus habot mi medina sayam. Avakli mesamis chashivi velo batli shabris. So we'll say there is this position of Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish holds that halacha lemaisa, certain types of wood ultimately are batal, other types of wood are not batal. See, he says, kli as lugus habayim medinas hayam, if it's coated with metal, so the metal becomes a dominant feature. This kli mesamis, so we'll say these just different types of wood, this kli mesamis, which apparently was a more expensive wood, even if you cover it in metal, ultimately it still has the identity of a wooden utensil. El Rab Yochanan Da'amar, Kli Misamis Nami Batli Ma'ikel Me. My Rabbi will say, according to Rab Yochanan, who says, no, it doesn't matter what kind of wood it is. If you coat wood, ultimately, again, if you coat wood with metal, right, specifically with gold, halacha lemaisa, the identity of the utensil becomes one of a metallic utensil. And Michael, then I will say again, remember, we're just trying to figure out the status of the shulchan. So I don't understand, meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, all types of wood will become bottled to a gold plating. So if that's the case, again, why doesn't the shulchan just simply become tamid as a result of being a metal utensil? Shiny shulchan, the shulchan is different. Why? Dirachmana karya eitz. Because they both say the Torah itself calls it wood. Shene emar, hamizbeach, eitz, shalosh amos gavoa, arko shtayim amos, umiktsoos lo, v'arko v'kiros of eitz, v'yedaber elai, ze hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem. So we'll say this from the Pasuk in Yecheskel. And again, we don't have to go through the rest of the Pasuk. The point is, the end of the Pasuk, I'm saying, is that it calls it eitz, and then what does the Pasuk say? Zeh shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. It's calling, ultimately, it's speaking about the shulchan, even though we're going to discuss why it says mizbeach and shulchan. It says the shulchan. So you see from the Pasuk that the Navi refers to the shulchan, ultimately, again, as eitz, as wood. So therefore, I will say, the Gemara answers something very interesting over here. So, We're going to get to a beautiful drush in just a moment. But the interesting part, see, here's the good news. What's the good news? Everyone agrees that the shulchan is mekabel tuma, right? The shaila is why. So essentially, the Gemara wanted to say the simplest reason should be that it's a metal utensil. That's the simplest reason. I don't understand why we're not talking about that. So we'll say, so working backwards a little bit, to which the Gemara says, that's because the Navi refers to ultimately the Shulchan as eitz, refers to it as wood. So apparently that's the dominant identity of the Shulchan as being a utensil of wood. Oh, if it's a utensil of wood, then what? Then the only way it is makabel tumra bosai is how? Is if it's a utensil that is not meant to remain stationary, but is moved. So in that case, we understand why the Shulchan is makabel tumra. Why? Because the Shulchan was moved. When was the Shulchan moved? When the Kohanim went to pick it up to show it to the Oli Regalim to say, Ruchi basim lefnei amakom. Good. So we'll say, so bottom line, we're looking at the Shulchan, excuse me, as a wooden utensil that is movable and therefore makabel tumra. Suppose I twitch the Gemara says something so beautiful now. Pasach b'mizbeach v'siyem b'sholchan. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. This pasach in Yechezkel, which presumably is talking about the Shulchan, yet it begins talking about the Mizbeach and it ends talking about the Shulchan. What's the pshat? What's the reason how beautiful this is? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar Dami Tarbai. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar both say, Bizman she beis hamikdash kayim, Mizbeach mechaper al adam. They both say, when the beis hamikdash stands, so a person's Mizbeach, a person's altar, has the ability to atone for him. V'achshav she'in beis hamikdash kayim. But I will say now, unfortunately, again, where there is no beis hamikdash, so ultimately, again, shulchano shel adam mechaper. A person's table atones for him. What does it mean, a person's table atones for him? Rashi says, first short line in Rashi, on top, shulchano shel adam mechaper, alav, denosein prusa la'archim. But I will say, hachnasas archim. Hachnasas Archim. This is actually such a beautiful idea that ultimately, again, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, so the Mizbeach is what achieves kapara for us. In the absence of the Beis Hamikdash, your table through Hachnasas Archim goes ahead and atones for Klal Yisrael. I will say, if you think about it, there's actually a very beautiful idea. What's the commonality between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? So we'll say, if you think about it, the truth is there's much Torah on this. But if you think about it, it's just on, I think, on a very basic level. The Shulchan, the Mizbeach, was the great equalizer of Klal Yisrael. Right? In other words, although there are certain karbanos that depend on your monetary status, the majority of karbanos, I will say, were the same for everyone. So the Mizbeach is the great equalizer of Klal Yisrael. What happens when you have people around your table? We know, when you bring people around your table, we'll say, what are you doing? It's also the great equalizer of Klal Yisrael. So the Mizbeach was the Koach HaMa'achid. The Mizbeach was something that brought Klal Yisrael together. You have people around your table that also has the ability to bring even very, very different people together. Beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Good. Weiter. Arba Snifin Shal Zav HaYusham. So we'll say, back to the details of the Shulchan. There were four golden supports. Remember again, I will say, these were we'll call it the side supports on the Shulchan, the things that kept the racks kind of in place. So four golden supports. Minahani Mili, says, where do we know this from? Amrav Ketina Makra, Vasisa Ka'arosav, Vekaposav, Vekasosav, Uminyakiosav. So we'll say here, the passage talks about the following. You shall make your Ka'arosav, Kaposav, Kisosav, Umenach Yosav. What are these items? So says the Gemara Ka'arosav. So the Ka'aros, Elu Defusim. We'll say that refers to the molds in which the breads, Lechem HaPanim, were made. Kaposav. What are the Kaposav? Ela Bazichin. We'll say this refers to the spoons of frankincense. Kisosav. What does that refer to? Elu Snifin. We'll say that refers to the gold support posts or support beam. Beams don't know, support panels on the side of the Shulchan. Umenakiosav, Rabbi Yosef, what are Menakiosav? Elu Kanim. Rabbi Yosef, this ultimately refers to the rods in between. This is great, by the way, because how long have we been learning these psukim in Chumash, and we never have any idea what it's all referring to. So now again, the Gemara tells us it refers to the molds, it refers ultimately to the spoons of frankincense, it refers to the golden support posts, and ultimately again, the rods. Asha Yusach Bahen. The Rebbe said, literally again, that you will anoint with them. What does that mean? Shemesachech in bahen es halechem. Ultimately, again, that you will go ahead. So we'll say this on look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shemesachech in bahen es halechem. Sha'al halechem mesachech in akonim bein tchala lechaverta. Literally, again, you place one loaf on top of the rods that are supported by the loaf underneath. Mosiv Rava, lo sidra es akonim. We'll say, now Rava raises a kasha. What did the Mishnah tell me? The Mishnah told me that the arrangement of the rods, both the removal of the rods and the replacement of the rods, is not Doche Shabbos. So amai ein docho says Hashabbos. So the Gemara says, so I'm sorry, v'isak adaitcha d'oraisa amai ein docho says Hashabbos. So the Gemara says, a good kasha. If you're telling me ultimately that what? That menachio sav refers to the rods. That means that what? That midoraisa, you need to have the rods by the lechem aponim. So we'll say, if that's the case, then what? Anything that is d'oraisa should what? Should be docho Shabbos. If that's the case, then on Shabbos morning, when we're taking the last week's loaves off of the shulchan, I should be able to remove the rods, take the loaves off, and then what? When I go ahead and put the new loaves on, replace the rods in between the loaves. Yet the Mishnah tells me I can't do it, but if it's d'oraisa, I should be able to do it. Hada amar Rav alav milsihi. So Rava says the truth is, it's actually not a kasha. D'amri, this not klal amar Rabbi Akiva, because I will say the truth is the Mishnah itself stated the answer to this problem. What did Rabbi Akiva say? So we'll say, again, this is actually very interesting because Rabbi Akiva apparently holds, even if something is biblically permitted in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, if you can do it before Shabbos with the same exact results, then halacha lemaisa, there's no need to do it on Shabbos. So we'll say, Rabbi Akiva's argument, it doesn't as much seem to be a halachic argument, because it sounds like if something's daraisa, there is a license to do it in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, but it's more a logical argument, right? That halacha lemaisa, if there are things which can be done before Shabbos, even if you have a license to do it on Shabbos, ultimately, again, I will say, by the way, this is true. I think I mentioned this yesterday, that this concept is very important by Ochel Nefesh as well. By Ochel Nefesh, I will say, on Yom Tiv, the halacha is that although you're permitted to cook on Yom Tiv, anything which can be done before Yom Tiv with the same qualitative results should be done before Yom Tiv. And one can make the logical argument, Rabbi will say, that in general, things which can be done before Yom Tiv, even if technically it's permitted to do it on Yom Tiv, should be done before Yom Tiv, right? The logic being because that leads to a greater enhancement of the Kiddusha, the holiness, and the enjoyment of Yom Tiv. So Rabbi Akiva says, the rods can be removed. So if they can be removed, then why play with it on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, 1 second. V'hani nami afshar d'lo dachi Shabbos alayu. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Let's analyze this. Taima mai. Why do we have the rods there in the first place? D'lo li apish lechem. Ultimately, again, because we don't want the bread to spoil. We don't want spoilage. So we'll say, so again, how do we avoid spoilage? By putting the rods there. The rods allow for what? For airflow. Airflow hopefully prevents spoilage. So the Gemara says, b'chi hai shiura lo ma'apish. So the Gemara says, the truth is, so I'm going to say, but 1 second, if you leave it there without rods, it's going to spoil. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva says, for that relatively short amount of time, that there's, I mean, the loaves are sitting on the shulchan for a week. For the couple of hours, that the loaves will be rodless, so ultimately, again, there's not going to be any significant spoilage. Kedisanya, Ketzad, to which the Gemara Sabosa we saw. So how does this work? Nichnas me'erev Shabbos v'shamtan, u'manichan arkosh al shulchan. Erev Shabbos, the kohen walks into the Beis HaMikdash, and he removes the rods from between the loaves. U'matzei Shabbos, nichnas, and u'manichan arkosh al shulchan, and he places them along the length of the shulchan. Matzei Shabbos, nichnas, so I will say now again, remember the part that's not written here, but it's understood. Come Shabbos morning, they take off the old loaves, go ahead and give it to the departing shift of Kohanim, replace it with new loaves. Then what happens? Matzei Shabbos nichnas, umagbia rasha shal chala, umachnis kanatachtel, v'chozer umagbia rasha shal chala, umachnis kanatachtel. And I will say then what happens? And then Matzei Shabbos, the coin comes in, and he places the rods in between the loaves. So we'll say, so what it's saying is, for last week's loaves, the little bit amount of time sitting overnight on Shabbos night without the rods is not going to impact it. And for the new loaves, sitting a couple of hours on Shabbos until the coin gets their Matzei Shabbos to replace the rods, is also not going to negatively impact the chalas. Good. So arba'a chalas richo shlosha shlosha kanim. So this is actually very interesting. Now remember again, there are two stacks of six loaves each. So the Gemara says over here, the quote-unquote four middle loaves, the four middle loaves of each stack, require three rods each. Hal yona, eina tzricha elashnayim, lefi she'in aleha masui. But also the upper loaf only has to have two rods under it. Why? Because the upper loaf has nothing weighing down on it. Hatachtona eino tzricha kol iker. The bottom loaf actually does not need any rods at all. Why? Lefi shamunachas al taharo shel shulchan. Because we'll say the bottom loaf is fully supported ultimately again by the shulchan itself. Good. Tanan hasam. So what we learned there. But so now we're going to get into an interesting technical discussion about tfachim and amis. Tanan hasam. Rei Meir omer kol amo sheyeh b'mikdash beinonios. Rei Meir says, we'll say every amma used inside of the Beis HaMikdash was what we call an amma beinonis. Chutz mimis. So again, we'll discuss. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says bebeinonis, bebeinonios. It's right across from Tosos, low C there. Bebeinonios, shal shisha tfachim. So we'll say, interesting enough, an amma beinoni. Excuse me. An amma beinoni is an amma made up of six tfachim. Why is it called an amma beinoni, Rabbi Osai? Because there are some who measure amas at 5 tefachim, others who measure amas at 7 tefachim, and therefore the 6 tefach amma is called the amma beinoni, the middle of the road amma. So it says the Gemara, so Rabbi Meir holds, kol amma sheba mikdash beinonios. All the amos used in the Beis HaMikdash were amos beinonios, chutz me mizbeach hazav, with the exception of the golden mizbeach, v'ha keren, the horns of the mizbeach, v'ha sobev, the ledge of the mizbeach, v'ha yisod, and the base of the mizbeach. Those were measured differently. So Rashi points out over here that those amos are measured with 5 tefach amos. So we'll say this is Shitas Rabbi Meir. All amos in the Beis HaMikdash were 6 tefach amos, with the exception of the amos used in the measurement of the horns, of the Mizbeach Hazav, the horns, the ledge, and the base of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Huda says, Amos binyan shisha tfachim. Rabbi Huda says any amma used in construction was always an amma of 6 tfachim. V'shal kelim chamisha. So what Rabbi Huda draws a different line. He says any amma used in construction was an amma of 6 tfachim, and for kelim 5 tfachim. Amr Rabbi Yochanan says ushnei mikra echad darshu. Both of them dash in the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? It says according to a pasuk from Yecheskel, ve'ila midas hamizbech ba'amos. Ve'ila midos hamizbeach ba'amos ama b'tofach v'cheika ama v'amarochav. I'm just turning the page. V'cheika ama v'amarochav u'gvula al svasa saviv zeres ha'echad v'zeh gav hamizbeach. So both sides, the Gemara now breaks apart each part of this pasuk, referring to a different part of the Beis HaMikdash. So here we go. Cheka Amma. So we'll say, what's the Cheka Amma? Zeh Yisod. This refers ultimately again to the base of the Mizrach. We'll say again, remember from our earlier days in Menachos. So we saw, and in Zvachim, we saw the way the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to, actually the Gemara is going to talk about this explicitly, but the way ultimately again the Mizbeach itself was shaped is that you have what's called a Yisod, which is a base. The way it works is the Mizbeach begins wide, goes up, comes in. So that indentation in, that's going to be called the Sovev. That Sovev is called the ledge. So the Yisod is the bottom base, and then the Sovev ultimately again is the internal ledge. Oh, good. So maybe we're going to take a picture and we can post that. Good. So says the Gemara. So Cheka Amma Zeh Yisod. Thank you. Amma Rochav. We're both saying, what's the Amma Rochav? Zeh Sovev. This refers ultimately again to the ledge. Ugvula al svasa saviv zeres ha'echad elu kronos. And I will say this last phrase, ugvula al svasa saviv zeres ha'echad, right? And the boundary around it, which was a zeres, which we'll discuss that measurement, that refers to the horns, which we'll remember again, there are 4 horns, 4 corners of the mizbeach. That refers to the kronos. Zeh gav mizbeach, so we'll say when it says, this is the top of the mizbeach, what is it referring to? Zeh mizbeach hazor. We'll say this is referring to the golden mizbeach. Rabbi Meir says, Zehu ba'ama bas chamisha. So Rabbi Meir holds that ultimately, again, this is referring to an amma of 5 tefachim. Ha kol amas ba'ama bas sheish. Yet all other amos, Rabbi say, well, what? All other amos will be using an amma ultimately of what? Of, thank you, Rashi, of 6 tefachim. Rabbi Huda says, Kazeh yihiyu. Ultimately, again, that Kazeh yihiyu means the Mizbeach HaZohav, kol amos, ultimately, again, should be 5 tefachim. So the Gemara says, "Kelim sakadaitcha." I'm sorry, "Kelim sakadaitcha miyisod vaatzovei ba'ama basei begova." Ultimately, and says the Gemara, I would have thought that from the yisod until the sovei, we're dealing with an amma. Ultimately, again, a 5 tefachim when dealing with the height of the amma. Umai, Cheka Amma va'amarochav. So we'll say, what's the meaning of the phrase when it says Cheka Amma? So again, I will say, all we're doing is taking this pasuk from Yecheskel, trying to dissect it and read it back. Both Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir, who obviously differ in their amma measurements. Are we dealing with an amma? So we'll say, understand that there are multiple machloksim over here. Number one, is an amma 5 tefachim or 6 tefachim? To which the answer is, it depends which amma you're referring to, right? Different ammos in the Beis HaMikdash were used in different measurements. So we're just trying to break that up. So the Gemara says, well, my cheka amma va'amma rochav. What is the meaning of that phrase, cheka amma and amma rochav? Hachikar, this is what it means to say. Mi cheka amma va'ad rochav. Rabbi said, from the cheka ha'amma until the rochav, right? Ultimately, what is that? That is ba'ama bas chamisha. Anything between those two areas was measured with an amal that is made up of 5 tefachim. Go v'ham mizbeach kama. We both say, how high? What was the height of the mizbeach? 10 amas. The height of the mizbeach, we'll say, this is, by the way, the outer mizbeach, right? The animal sacrifice mizbeach. This, right, the height of that mizbeach was 10 amos. Shis b'nei chamisha chamisha. 6 of those amos, Rabbi Yosef, were made up, now this is fascinating, of amos of 5 tefachim, v'arboi b'nei shisa. So Rabbi Yosef, get ready for this. The Yerah right now is positing that the ten amma height of the Mizbeach was made up of amos of differing sizes. 6 of those amos were chamisha, were 5 tefach amos. 4 of those amos were 6 tefachams. So, you're going to see why we have to do this in just a moment. Mizbeach kamahavi. We'll say, what was the total height of the Mizbeach? Chamshin v'arba. Ultimately, again, 54 tefachim. 54 tefachim was the total height of the Mizbeach. Palgi the Mizbeach kamahavi. We'll say, what's half of the height of the Mizbeach? Esrim v'shiva. 27 tefachim. Mikronos v'ad sovev. Kamahabi, Rabbi said, from the height of the chronos, of the horns, ultimately again until the sovev. So we'll say the sovev is like the band that wraps around. So the Gemara says, a kamahabi, how much is that? Esrim va'arba, that'll be another 24 amos. Kama b'tzir, the palgi de mizbeach. So we'll say, so what's there for the height differential between the top of the mizbeach to the middle of the mizbeach? Or how much, say, how much height is left? So the Gemara says, t'lasa. Ultimately, again, 3 tefachim. Utnanan, we learned, chut shel sikra, chogro be'emtza. We'll say there was a red line that went across the middle of the mizbeach. Kadei lahavdil bein damim alyonim ledamim hatachtonim. In order to go ahead, we learned this before a lot in Zvachim, in order to distinguish between bloods that had to be applied above the red line and below the red line. But according to that, but based on that which we learn, Gabe Olasof, Rabbi Yosef, when it comes to Olasof, so what's the halach with Olasof? Haya Ola Bekeves, Rabbi Yosef, remember again, this is now, this first white line, Haya Ola Bekeves, so we'll say if the coin went up on the ramp, Ufana Lusovev, and he turns towards the Sovev, Uvalo the Karen Diromis Mizrachis, and he comes to the southeastern corner, Umolek es Rosh Mimul Arpa, and he goes ahead. Remember again, they're both saying Ola Sa'of, how do you do it with Malika? See, he kills he slaughters the animal with his thumbnail. Umavdil, and he separates the head from the body. Umotza es Dama al Ker Mizbeach, and he goes ahead and he sprinkles the blood on the side of the Mizbeach. Now watch this. Vim Asalamata Miraglav Afilu Amak Shera. And I both say now, interestingly enough, so remember, where is this happening? This is happening on top of the Mizbeach. Where is the blood supposed to be sprinkled? On the side of the Mizbeach. Now, here's what's interesting. So the Braisa says, and if he does it, even the Masalamata Miraklava Filo Amma Achas Ksheira. And if he sprinkles it even an Amma below where he's standing, the blood application is kasher. So the Gemara says, 1 second. If it's an Amma below where he's standing, then here's the problem. Ha kayohev al yona limata mishne tefachim. Ultimately, you're going to say, if that's the case, then if he's placing it an amma beneath where he's standing, you're going to say, that places the blood where? Below the red line. What's the halacha? The blood of Ola Sa'of has to be placed above the red line. Ela cheka amma knisa. Rather, says the Gemara, the phrase cheka amma actually refers to the indentations of the Mizbeach. Amarochav. We'll say, what does Amarokha refer to? Knisa. Another indentation of the Mizbeach. We'll say, this goes back, I'm sure you can see it on the picture that was sent out, but this goes back to the idea that the way the Mizbeach was structured was, the base begins wide, and then it goes up, goes in. Another area that goes up straight, and then goes in. Gvula el svasa saviv. Again, Abbas, when it says gvula el svasa saviv, that refers to another indentation. So, Abbas, what you begin to see are three indentations along the height of the Mizbeach. Mizbeach kamahava. Abbas, what was the height of the Mizbeach? Shisin. It was 60 tfachim tall. So the Gemara says, Shisin, palgi the Mizbeach kamahava. Abbas, so therefore, what's half of the height of the Mizbeach? Tlasin. Ultimately, again, 30 tfachim. Mikronos va'at sobev kamahavit. We'll say from the horns to the sobev, how much was there? Chaf dalid, 24 tfachim. Kama batzir lepagid the mizbeach. How much height was left till he got to the middle of the mizbeach? So shisha, 6 tfachim. Utnan. Now let's go back to Olas Ha'of. Ima salamat meirag lavafilu ama achos ksheira. So remember again, going back to the Olas Ha'of case. The coin is slaughtering the Olas Ha'of. Where is he slaughtering the Olas Ha'of? Where? On the top of the Mizbeach. Where does the blood have to be applied? On the wall of the Mizbeach. What I was saying about the halacha is, it has to be applied where? Above the Chotah Sikra, above the red line. Now let's go back. So what does it say? If the coin takes the blood and he applies it, so he's standing on top. He's bending down. He's applying the blood, ultimately again, on the wall of the Mizbeach. And what did the Mishnah say? Even if he went ahead and he applied it an amma beneath where he's standing, it's good. So let's analyze this. So we'll say, what area are we talking about over here? Biknisa, by one of the indentations. Can you actually go ahead and establish this as by one of the indentations? Of Hotanon, we learned. The Mizbeach was measured 32 by 32. So now I'll say that is the measurement of the base, the bottom base, which was the widest part of the Mizbeach. Ola Amo. So we'll say, so what happens? It was 32 Amos by 32 Amos. Then what happens? Ola Amo. There's an Amo of height. Vikanas Amo. And then I'll say, what happens? The Mizbeach ultimately again comes in. There's an indentation. Is indentation the right word? Yes. So it begins wide. It begins wide. It comes in, right? And then goes in an Amo. The kanasama recessed, right? Good. It's recessed even more. So it goes up an amma, then it's recessed an amma. So zehu yisod. They both say that first indentation, first part where it goes in, the first recessed area. That's right. That's called, what was it? Revealed. Okay. Good. I'm just going to read the Aramaic. You guys can do that. So it says the Gemara. Zeh Yisod. Then ultimately, again, that's called the Yisod. Nimtza Shloshim HaShloshim. Therefore, we'll say the area of the Mizbeach at that point in time is 30 by 30. Ushnei Tfachim Havim. So it's 30 by 30 in two Tfachim. Vesu Allah Chamesh. Then I will say again, there's another 5 amas in height, right? And then what happens? Vikanas Amma. And then again, it enters in another Amma. Zeh Sovei. Rabbi says it's also called the Sovei. Nimtza esrim ushmona. So therefore, we'll say ultimately again, it turns out that is an area of 28 by 28. So the Gemara says esrim ushmona va'arba tvachim avi. So in reality, again, it was actually 28 by 28 plus a little, plus 4 tvachim. V'chitema kevan de lo havi amilo chashiv le. Maybe you'll say, well, one second, you know what, the truth is, you don't really take the 4 tfachim into account, why, Rabosai? Because 4 tfachim is not even an amma. Meaning, at a certain point in time, we round off the measurements. Tursi Mura says, that's not true, I'll tell you why. Kronos, amma mizeh, va'amma mizeh. Nimtza esrim v'shesha esrim v'shesh. So we'll say, I'm sorry, the Gemara says yes. So we don't really take into account that 4 tfachim area. Why? Because ultimately, again, it's less than an amma. So the Rabbi will say, watch this. Kronos amma mizeh v'amma mizeh. So let's remember again, the kronos, which are the horns on the top of the Mizbeach, were 1 amma by 1 amma. Therefore, nimtza esrim v'shesh al esrim v'shesh. So the Rabbi will say, it turns out that the actual top of the Mizbeach was ultimately 26 by 26. Okay? So we'll say, twitch the Gemara, one second. It's actually more. Esrim b'sheva, we'll say it's actually 27 by 27 based on the math. To which the Gemara says, lo dok. The truth is, it's not precise, and I'll tell you why. Makom hiluch ragle kohanim ama mizeh va'ama mizeh. So which is interesting to note is as follows. Remember, again, when you get to the top of the Mizbeach, so we're trying to calculate out usable area. When you look at usable area, both sides, so first of course, you have the area of the crowns, the area of the horns. So both sides, that entire area doesn't become usable. In other words, the area between the horns essentially is considered to be unusable as well. Take also into account that there was a one amma width area that was considered to be the space for the Kohanim to walk around. When you back all of this out of the calculation, so we'll say, how much are you left with for the open area of the top of the Mizbeach? Nimtza esrim v'arba al esrim v'arba, makom ha-ma'aracha. Ultimately, again, I'll say, makom ha-ma'aracha, which was the area of the fire on top of the Mizbeach, that was 24 by 24. Which is going to say, I don't understand. Esrim v'chamishavi, but still, it should be 25 by 25, not 24 by 24. V'chitei ma'achinami lo dok. Maybe you'll say, you're right. 24, 25, you know, we don't need to be so precise. To which the words of a hawk sim, but the pasuk says, Va'ariel, shteimesre orech v'shteimesre rochav, revua. Rabbi say, but the pasuk explicitly says that what? The Ariel, which refers to the makom of the Esh, ultimately, again, was 12 by 12 squared. Yocho she'eno ele shteimesre al shteimesre. Kishu, I might have thought maybe it literally is just 12 by 12. Kishu omer el arba riva'av. By the four, literally by the four squares. Malamed, shebe'emtsohu modeid, shteimesre ama l'cho ruach v'ruach. Ultimately, it tells me that from the middle, you have to be able to go ahead and measure out 12 amas in every direction. V'chiteima, shisminev me'ikarav. Ba'ama bas chamisha ma'isilu. Maybe you'll tell me again about say that what? That of the 32 amas of the Mizbeach, ultimately, again, shisminayu, six of them are measured out with an amma that is only five tfachim, not an amma of six tfachim. Imkein rav chalei azara. We'll say, if that's the case, the problem is, if you start doing that, the entire dimensions of the azara are thrown off. Disnan. Kol ha'azara haya orech mea ushmonim v'sheva. This is actually very interesting. The entire length of the azara was 100, mea ushmonim v'sheva, 187 amos long. That's the length of the entire Beis HaMikdash, 187 of the Azar, excuse me. So, Orech Haya Mea Ushmona V'Sheva, Al Rochav Mea Ushloshim V'Chamish, with a width of what Rabbi was saying, a width of 135, Mizrach LeMa'arav Mea Ushmona V'Sheva. So, what's saying? The entire width, the entire length of the Beis HaMikdash was 187 amos. That's the length of the Beis HaMikdash. Watch this. Makom drisas ragle Yisrael achat asrei amo. So we'll say, so the area where Yisraelim generally walked, that was a width, ultimately, again, of 11 amos. That was a width of 11 amos. Umakom drisas ragle kohanim achat asrei amo. Then we'll say, right next to that, so we'll say this was a strip. Another picture? Good. So we'll say, right, so that was another, so therefore, one strip of 11 amos, that's the area, ultimately, again, for the Yisraelim. The strip right next to Chabosai was the strip right next to the Mizbeach. Ultimately, again, that was a strip for Kohanim. Achadesri Amah HaMizbeach. So, Rekhlai Kohanim Achadesri Amah. HaMizbeach Shloshim Ushtayim. The Mizbeach itself, Chabosai, as we just said, was what? Occupied a strip of 32 amos wide. So, what we're doing is we're taking the entire length of the Beis HaMikdash and we're cutting it up. We're slicing it up. So, first 11 amos, that's where Yisraelim went. Second 11 amos, that's ultimately where Kohanim went. Next 32 amos, that was where the Mizbeach was. We'll say just one more line, then we'll stop. So, Shloshim Ushtayim, Bein Ulam Mizbeach, Esim Ushtayim Amo. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, so really between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, which is the entranceway to what we'll call the Kodesh, that was Esim Ushtayim, another 22 amos. HaHechal Mea Amo. The Heichal itself was 100 amos long. So, achat esre amachori beis hakapores. Ultimately, again, and behind the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yosei, was what? So, there was 11 amos of space behind the actual Kodesh, behind the actual, I mean, we call it behind the Kapores. In other words, the area, Rabbi Yosei, of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the back end of the Ulam. There are 11 amos of space behind there. Ella, Cheka Omas, what's in it? Well, alright, we'll have to stop over here. So we'll pick up at Mirat Hashem, last line of Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. So it says, we'll see ultimately again, depending on how these measurements only work if you use Amos ultimately again of 6 Tfachim. But if you're going to start substituting Amos of 5 Tfachim, it's going to throw off all the measurements. Alright, we'll continue Mirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.